This is BSS Carolinas, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We are proudly sponsored by Attitude Broadcasting with your host, Rocky. The next one said J.J. Brea. I was like, what? What did J.J. Brea get a player to win? Up to number four, a serviceable player. Fitzpatrick. I'm going to say Summit Foundation, Jason Garrett. Mr. 315.
The Cowboys. Wait a minute, Jason Garrett's the coach for Dallas? I'm going to have a name. Jesus Shuttlesworth. Don't give him a pass on that suit either and that hat. Tom Brady.
Probably the best.
And Big Shot.
And ain't nobody fresher on than Mason and Margiela.
Tom Brady. Global losers.
Dude. Yeah.
Gotta show them love while you can. The Doo-Doo Browns get their first win of the season.
Bill Belichick.
He got game.
Be Reggie Langford. Who the hell is this running back?
Cowboys.
They holding up to six, baby. This segment is sponsored by Cody Zeller.
You're listening to BSS Carolinas.
Welcome to BSS Carolinas. I'm your host, Rocky. Of course, joining me today is Big Shot.
Little slow getting the headphones on. I'm in my own world. I'm trying to figure out who to play for fantasy this weekend.
We'll talk about that.
Damn it.
We'll do that second segment today. And, of course, Mr. 315 is here.
How y'all doing? How you doing? Just got to eat these M&Ms, clear my throat. Hold on.
Clean your throat?
All right, here we go.
You good?
Yeah, we good.
All right. All right. Well, welcome, everybody, on Periscope or Periscopians to the show. We got a great, great show for you today, as always. You know, we got a lot of local sports to talk, NFL talk. We got a big Monday night game here in Charlotte, or in D.C., I'll say. The Hornets. Segment two, we got early NFL games, rack them up hits of the week, top three, bottom three teams. I'm sure there'll probably be some shakeup there. Cash money players of the week, late NFL games, and some NBA talk. There's a lot of bon voyages to talk about. Two words for you. But before we start the show, let's go. I'm going to go around the world. It's a new segment we're going to do on the show again. Basically, talk about
the
story. Yeah, we'll bring it back again. Let's see. Share the biggest stories of the week. Into talking about the biggest stories of the week. One of the biggest stories, let's talk about this one first. At least 368 U.S. gymnasts alleged sexual assault abuse by adults within the last 20 years. 368.
That's a high number. Man, what in the hell was going on?
368, man.
Why is it taking 20 years for all this to come out? Why does it have to take 368 girls for this to come out? Why doesn't it come out after the first
girl? It doesn't say just
girls.
Man. It might not be just girls,
they
man.
Were doing some outlandish stuff, weren't they?
Yeah. That's it lasts 20 years. Seriously? That's crazy,
What's the average on that, man? What's the average per year on that?
That is over 10 a year.
Damn. Yeah.
About 15, 16 a year.
Man, that's something I hope we fix. That's bad. That's awful. So we'll definitely. The next story, though, man, Western Michigan. I'll go and go with this one. Western Michigan basketball player charged with murder of fellow student.
What?
Yeah. What is wrong with these people?
Brings me back to the whole Baylor thing a few years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
What is? I don't know.
And then, do you want to say something?
No, you're bringing down my mood, man, with all these depressing stories, man.
Well, we got to talk. It's news around the world. We got to talk about it. This one's a little bit better, not much. Wake Forest OC Lonnie Galloway received information from Tommy Elrod during the week of Wake Forest game. Actually, this is Louisville offensive coordinator, Lonnie Galloway. The AD says that the Louisville OC did receive information from Tommy Elrod. In case you don't know who this is, Tommy Elrod is a play-by-play guy that works on the radio for Wake Forest Demon Deacons football.
That worked. He doesn't that work.
Worked. Right. He worked for them at one point. But the whole story is that he leaked game footage information to Louisville and other teams. But right now we know it's Louisville.
They said it's been going on since 2014. Of course, he played with the University of Wake Forest from 93 to 97.
He was a quarterback.
He was a graduate assistant coach under the previous regime. And in 2011, when the new coaching regime came in, they didn't retain his services. He went into play-by-play. And obviously, he was a man scorned because his services weren't retained on the new coaching staff. And he said, ha-ha, I'm going to get you. I'm going to pass out your plays.
Yeah, David Clawson.
And it's a wonder that Wake Forest was still able to win games. Aren't they in the bowl game this year?
They are. They went 6-6 this year.
Man.
Clawson's turned around Wake Forest program.
While being jobbed by the play-by-play guy, they still make a bowl game. I mean, this guy, the coach, deserves more credit than he's been getting already.
There is nothing worse than this guy. I mean, dude, you're supposed to be a Wake Forest guy. And now you're a play-by-play guy, and you're sneaking information to the other team?
This is a school you went to. You probably met your wife at, right? You had all your job, your whole life in Winston-Salem.
And they also said that he is he's behind the university's fundraising programs. Like, he raises a bunch of money for the program.
And cheating his ass off.
Come on, man. There's nothing dirtier than this guy.
Man, Wake Forest alums, Chris Paul, Tim Duncan, Rodney Rogers, Mr. Treetop himself.
Randolph Truders.
Right?
Muggsy Bogues.
Let's find this guy. We got to get this guy.
I actually used to work with a guy that played at Wake. Charles Davis played back in the 70s. And I wish I talked to him about the story because it would be interesting to hear what his thoughts are. But if you were Wake Forest, I mean, you just – Dude, I mean, seriously. Yeah, I mean, they don't need you never hear a scandal out of Wake Forest.
Nothing there, no.
No. The last story we'll move into this week's Panthers game, or last week. Cardell Hayes, found guilty of manslaughter, former Saints D lineman Will Smith, faces between 20 to 40 years.
At least the sentencing sounds about right. I didn't agree with the manslaughter charges. It was more like, they should have charged him with murder because he had a road rage fight. He had time to get out of his car, yell at somebody, go back to his car, grab his gun out of his car, walk back to the car, and then shoot him.
And his wife.
Now, that starts getting close to premeditated to me.
Both knees. She got hit in both knees. Yep.
But he's going to get the time that he has coming to him and is deserved.
Yeah, taking another man's wife or another man and hurt his wife, man. I just, you know, it's sad. And trust me, some days you drive, you feel, you know, you get angry at some people driving, especially you live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Some people, the way they drive, but, you know, I would never get out of my car with a gun or anything like that.
We don't ever hear about this happening in the major cities that have real traffic issues. You don't hear about this in Northern Virginia. You don't hear about this in California.
You know, you've already had a second one with Joe McKnight.
What's going on in Louisiana?
Yeah. It's sad. And one of the good things is the Saints and the city of New Orleans is really getting behind this whole situation. So, helping his wife and stuff like that, which is good. But still, it's bad, man.
Three kids, too, man.
Yeah.
Can I add one more story?
Sure, go ahead.
The Nevada Commission suspended Brock Lesnar for a year, going back to July 9th, for his failing of the test after UFC 200, and they fined him $250,000, which was 10% of his purse that he was paid. Mm.
That means you will be in WWE for another year.
At least.
All right?
Yep.
Why did you even go back to USC? I mean, I know you're getting a purse.
$2.5 million said come back, bro.
You don't think he makes that much? You know how much he's getting paid WWE? He's top five.
If Dana White calls and said, we got $2.5 million for you if you come make an appearance, bro, you going to say no?
No. But listen, man. I mean, but now you're suspended for a year. You know, you're probably never go back to UFC again. He's done.
He's done.
Yeah,
UFC.
That's it.
He ain't fighting UFC again.
Yep. That's what I said when it first happened. I was like, he's not coming back.
But it's all good. He can keep coming to WWE. We are looking forward to Royal Rumble and him in Goldberg Part 2.
Are we? Are we really?
Well, we got to act like we are.
I'm over them two.
Hopefully Goldberg won't be injured this time and they can have maybe a 3-4 minute match.
Maybe 5 seconds or something. I mean, maybe it will be 5 minutes.
He never wrestled long matches either.
Who?
Goldberg. I mean,
no, because he can't wrestle.
Right, he can't wrestle. No,
he has right. 3 or 4 moves.
That's it.
He has to get in, get out.
Yep.
I mean, more of the build-up is more interesting than the matches, usually, for these guys.
And I like the build-up of this last one.
Like I said, I just like Goldberg's interest. Just keep blowing the smoke out of your nose after you inhale it, man. That's so freaking awesome, man.
Yep. Moving on to this week, week 14 review of the Panthers beat the Chargers 28-16. We talked about it a little bit on Monday, the Royal 3 breakdown show, which you can catch every week at 6 p.m. Cam Newton didn't play well at all. Chargers really gained them this game. Mm-hmm. This is more of a fact of how bad the Chargers played than how good the Panthers played. The defense played good. I'll give you credit on that. Coleman had a pick. Aaron Gordon. Melvin Gordon got hurt, so he was out. He might be done the season the way he looks like he got hit.
He won't need surgery, but they're definitely being cautious with him. Cam Newton.
Did you say Tim Tebow?
He might as well have been Tim Tebow because he's having Tim Tebow numbers 10 for 27, 160 yards, an int, 54.6
Tim
QB
Tebow.
Rating, a 27?
Those numbers are
a
still.
A 27 QBR?
Those numbers are still better than anything Tim Tebow ever puts up.
I know, but dude.
That was Tim Tebow.
Just watching the game, he was behind on all his passes. He
hasn't been sharp all year.
No.
His mechanics and his fundamentals have totally abandoned him. Like, he's throwing off his back foot all the time.
But he did that a lot last year, too.
He got away with the speed, the defense, and stuff.
Yep.
And they was just having a magical season. Yeah. But this year, it's catching up with him again. It looks like from 2 or 3 years ago where we always complain about the fundamentals, making accurate passes.
He's just not accurate, man. He throws high, which he's lucky he has all these tall receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't see Cam Newton playing with, like, an Edelman or a – or Wes Welker.
But he was killing it with Ted Ginn, and Ted Ginn's what, 5'10"?
But it was like you said, magical season where everything just clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of them years where you could get a lot of the stuff that they did well last year, the bad stuff was hidden. You know, this year it's coming out. The offensive line, you know, has been horrible. It was horrible last year. They just got away with it because Cam was getting rid of the ball quicker.
Yeah, he had just an unbelievable year,
right?
Eluding defenders, giving those receivers enough time to get open.
The defense will put you in good situations with picks and everything else. So it helped. This year, it's just snowball, one thing after another on offense.
We don't have a deodorant to cover up that stench that we're putting out there this week.
You don't have any rhythm on offense. I mean, you can say they put up 30 points, but it's either boom or bust.
Yeah.
There's no drops of 80 yards or anything like that.
And all this started in the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, teams had a blueprint of how to stop Cam Newton.
No.
Or neutralize them or contain them, whatever you want to call it.
That's true. No, we're not listening to Russian music today. I don't have any Russian music playing.
Somebody, if there's a song you can recommend, we'll throw it on there.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Our Periscopians was asking questions.
Oh, okay,
so
that's cool. No, that's cool.
We'll see what happens this week.
But all that said, I was thrilled with our effort. We haven't quit on the season. We're not going to quit on these last two games. I know Too Legit was screaming, band of the season, pull the 76ers, tank, get a better draft pick. But I'm never a fan of tanking. You never get out of the tanking mode once you start it.
I agree with not tanking, but I think you don't play guys that are injured the rest of the season. If they're even close to not being able to play, you just – hey, you need to sit out and get healthy for next year.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you play and get hurt and you get re-injured, you're risking yourself next season. For example, Luke Kuechly should not see the playing field until next season.
See, I agree with that, too. I agree.
That's not tanking, though. No, that's just being smart.
Just being safe. I mean, this is a second concussion.
But Luke has those incentives in contract, too. You know, you play X amount of games, this much more money is coming to you. You make X amount of tackles, this much more money is coming to you.
And I definitely get that.
I don't think Luke's that guy, dude. It's like, all right, I want to get my tackles and get my extra money. I think he's smart. You know, he's not healthy. He's
worried about his health a little bit more.
He wants to play the next 10, 20 years.
He's been practicing. He was out to practice yesterday. And I know yesterday is just a walkthrough because this is the longer week for us because we play Monday. We'll see how it goes today. But I feel like he's going to play again, man.
I hope he doesn't. I mean, I just say it. I don't want to see the Dan Morgan thing. It scares me every time somebody gets injured.
Yeah.
As a linebacker and for Carolina, I always go back to Dan Morgan.
I just keep thinking about Luke's face, man.
Yeah.
When he was getting carted off. I mean, he had the look on his face like, man, my career could be over.
Yep. Real fast, the other Week 14 game, we'll talk about it briefly real fast. The Giants beat the Cowboys 10-7. I talked about it Monday. The biggest thing, the Giants' D-line just beat our offensive line, dude. I mean, they're playing simple. Mm-hmm. Yes, Janoris Jenkins had a pick and a fumble recovery, but look at the interception. Dez fell. He slipped. And the fumble, Dez fumbled the ball. He never touched the ball. But, you know, he gets credit for it. He had a good game against Dallas. But the key to me was their defense line just out-handled us.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be more physical than our offense line, then you might win that game. Yep. You got a good chance.
Dallas, this week, let's take some deep shots down the field, please. Two or three throws of at least 20-plus yards, even if it's incomplete. You got to show teams that you are willing to take deep shots, especially when they're playing that close to the line of scrimmage.
The way we played against the Giants, safe. You can never play a game safe in the NFL. You got to go to play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
A little conservative at times.
Hello.
Dallas was definitely a little conservative at times. Yeah. I got to give props to Janoris Jenkins, man. He was everywhere.
Dude, he was in the right place for the interception because Dez slipped, and then Dez fumbled the ball.
I like Dez.
Dez had a bad game, though. I mean, it happens.
But my only problem with Dez has to become a better route runner, man. And I'm starting to – you know what else I'm starting to notice with Dez? I think Dez misses Tony.
Well, no, I think
his numbers say he misses Tony.
That's what I'm
first
saying.
First of all, you can't really look at his numbers because he's missed so many games this season. So it's tough to compare the numbers. Look what they had before this week, what they did. He was starting to come around. Him and Dak was starting to get into a rhythm together. And it takes some time to get into a rhythm. They were into a rhythm, and then this game, he just had a bad game, him and Dak. I mean, Dak's still a rookie, man. I mean,
right.
So, and I get it. I'm sure he missed Tony. Listen, we're not stupid in this room. Tony Romo's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. You cannot tell me he's not better than Tony.
No, Romo has a way better arm. Romo can sling that rock. I don't think Dak can sling the rock like Romo can sling the rock. Mm-hmm.
Dak, you know, now he has won more games than Tony this year, yeah. But it's at some point, if we keep losing games, Tony's got to come in. If we lose the next two games, week 17 against the Eagles, you better start Tony Romo.
Now, let me ask you this.
If we lose the next three.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Being a Dallas fan, everything, do you think that locker room is divided somewhat?
No.
Oh, hell no.
Not yet. Or not yet, at least.
We're living in two. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
They just were on like a 10-game winning streak.
Right, 11. Like we're sitting here talking like this team is 9-6
But the reason,
or no, not 9-6, like 7-9.
But the reason why I ask, because there's probably in that locker room probably a Tony Romo side going.
No.
I'm just saying.
I don't think there's any Tony. I see what you're saying, but I don't think so.
The only division is between the owner – one day and the owner the next day. Hey, I love Dak Prescott. Hey, I love Tony
Romo. No, no.
And that, right.
I think it's a good thing for Jerry because he's got two quarterbacks he know he can put in if he needs to. I don't think it's a fact that he doesn't trust Dak, but Dak is going through the growing pains. And when you have bad games, you're like, well, maybe it is time to put Tony in.
I mean, because we've been talking about this Tony Romo thing for a month now. And, you know, Dak, we got to realize he's 21, 22. He know it's affecting him. He's saying all the right things.
And I agree.
He's being smart in the media. But we know it's affecting him. It would affect any competitor to always hear, oh, the other guy's ready to come in. When are we going to get the other guy in?
Especially.
Dude, I just won 11 straight games. Yeah. I'm killing it. I am the MVP of this league right now.
Especially with a suited up, healthy Tony Romo on the sidelines now.
I don't think it's affecting him. I think it's that teams are seeing him for the second time. It's later in the season. They haven't opened up the playbook
to
him.
They have to open up the playbook.
Yes, and that's the biggest thing. I don't think it's that I think he's putting too much pressure on himself because he's like, I want to keep this going. I don't think he's looking over his shoulder because the way – and I know Jerry's Jerry, all right? He's got the best quarterback situation in the NFL right now because you got one rookie that's going to be your franchise. You got a guy that was your franchise. You are a win-win situation.
And you got a third stringer that's been to two AFC championship games.
Screw that. We ain't talking about garbage.
Oh, butt fumble. That's right.
Yeah, we ain't talking about garbage. Butt fumble. We ain't talking about garbage.
So I guess it's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. I would love to have it.
More touches for Zeke, please.
Right. Well, like we said, 35 carries, screen passes, get him out in the open field.
Is McFadden back?
Yes, he's
back too, right?
We activated him this week.
Right.
And he'll play this weekend because lately – Alfred Morris really hasn't done a lot. No, Alfred Morris hasn't done much when he's played. You don't see McFadden a lot.
I've seen a lot of Lance Dunbar recently.
Lance Dunbar, on the Giants game, Lance was in the game instead of Zeke. And that was one of the things. But I think the quarterback situation will be fine in Dallas. It's fine now. I don't think Dak's really that worried about over his shoulder. I think he's more worried about straight ahead and what he's trying to do. I think he's trying to get Dez the ball in the game. He's trying to get Cole Beasley still. I think he's pressing a little bit, trying to get the ball to these other guys.
But when you're only running 15, maybe 20 plays.
Mm-hmm. And can we please pass the ball on first down? Stop running it on first down every single series.
It was a play last week, right? Giants showed all-out blitz.
Audible. Change it.
He called an audible. They didn't call an audible to a short pass. They called an audible to a pitch out to Zeke Elliott, right, which he lost like 4 yards.
Yeah.
That is where you have – on first down, let's take shots deep like you're saying.
You have to.
Open up the offense.
Because there's nine in the at the line of scrimmage on first down against Dallas every week.
Take a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, listen, Dak has not played that bad the last 3-4 weeks. He hasn't. He actually against Minnesota Vikings defense, who is pretty good defense, he led a scoring drive to win that game late in the game. It's not like he hasn't played well lately. He hasn't put up the numbers that he usually has. But anyway.
You heard it from the Cowboys fan, number one Cowboys fan. Stick with Dak. Stop the Tony chatter.
Absolutely. But I will say, do we all agree if they lose the next 3 games to finish the year, that Tony's got to play
for the playoffs?
Yeah,
it just depends on how Dak is playing, man.
If he looks bad,
if he's looking awful,
week 17 against Philly, does Tony start?
Yes.
If we lose and he looks bad,
you have to put Tony in so he can get some game reps. Because more than likely, you're still going to have a first round bye.
If we lose next 3 games or next 2 going to Philly, week 17, does Tony start?
I see Jerry putting him in. Yeah,
Jerry. Like I said, not wait, Jerry. Wait, no. Jerry's not the coach. Jason. Jason's the coach of that team. You say what you want. Jason Garrett's the coach.
All right,
week 17. Does he play or not?
Okay, Jason Jones puts him in the game.
Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett puts him in the game? All right. There you go.
Jerry Garrett.
Jason is the head coach.
Jason Jones.
Team.
Jerry's unadopted son.
He got to act like it sometime.
He does. You saw him this week after the game. He was like, Dak is my quarterback. That's who we're going with. Stop asking. So we'll see. All right, you got anything else?
Always, sports is life.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about, we'll preview the rest of the NFL games for this week, or the local games, excuse me. You're listening to BSS Carolinas.